Welcome one and all to Influence Music Podcast. We explore new music and making connections back to previous musical generations via panel debates, conversations and interviews with artists, enthusiasts and medium insiders. Welcome one and all to episode 17 of Influence Music Podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We've had a 2-week break while we're working on creating some new content. And luckily enough, I am joined by the most amount of guests on the panel that we have had so far. So let me introduce you to the members of the panel for today before we get into the subject. First, our regular contributor, friend, blogger, beatmaker, Lee the new beatmaker. Lee, what's going on?
All good. Hope you are safe and well, listeners. And Mark, thank you for having me on yet again.
Once again, joining us after his debut on the UK Garage Special, coming through like a whirlwind on the carnival tornado, is Big G. Big G, what's happening?
How's it going, mate? Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
And breaking his cherry, coming through for the first time ever, Sneaker Ben. Sneaker Ben, what's happening?
What's happening, man? You good?
I'm good, bub. I'm good, acting all cool and chilled there, coming on all smooth. So, these guys are my friends, personal friends. We rave, we chat, we do everything together. Today's subject, I told them, was the feature. So, thinking of songs where the feature on the song, by whoever it is, in whatever genre it is, kind of takes over, becomes the main factor of that track, or the bit that you kind of look forward to. When I was looking at this, I didn't give them any kind of parameters or things to follow. Personally, I thought of tracks where it was labeled as a feature. I mean, there are quite a few tracks out there where there are features on there, but you know, they're not as features, or they might come across as a duet. Naturally, when you mention this topic, people generally congregate towards hip hop, because the hip hop feature is the thing that you think of the most. Hence why I put out a little Instagram post the other day. Big shout out to the man, Robbie Craig, because he was one of my favourite garage features with his soulful tones. But there are others out there, but I think when we think of this naturally, we get pulled in or drawn to the hip-hop feature. So what we've done, we've all picked 5 tracks that we love, that have great features on them. And we're just going to have a little chat about them, agree, disagree, see if there's any common denominators through what we've selected. So I don't mind going first with my first feature. My first feature that I think steals the show. I'm not actually sure that he steals the show, but I know that you're going to pick this version with the feature in it than you are the original version. And that's ODB on Mariah Carey's Fantasy. He says like 6 lines on it and it's comical. And it's almost kind of like how Flavor Flav was with Public Enemy. He kind of brings the light relief to the track and a kind of fun vibe. If you know the backstory or not, if you go on the Joe Budden podcast, he tells you how some of the music execs talk about working with ODB, and it's almost hilarious. And you'll also find that in the video to the track that Mariah Carey and ODB aren't in any scenes together, because when they tried to film them, he kept grabbing her and she said that she didn't like it. So they refused to film together. So like the whole thing is just pure genius. And in the article, it says that he came in and said New York in the house and then left and then came back 2 days later to record Chicago's in the house and then left and then come back to you. The guy's an absolute G. So it makes the track. It brings a new energy to it. And then that little bit of that Puffy, what are you going to do when you get out of bed? I'm going to make a remix. Adds a little kind of edge to it. And I think it's a good feature because you think of that one before you think of the one without him. If someone says, I'm Mariah Carey Fantasy, the first thing you think is, oh, New York's in the house. Boogie down. You don't just think of her singing without it. So that was my first feature select. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Go on, and Big G.
So, I've gone for Lil Kim in All About the Benjamins.
Wanna bumble with the B, huh? Four eggs on your whole family.
For me, I think, you know, there was a lot of good women rappers out around them times. And it's just the way she used to, you know, the way she used to come hard on a track, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bumble with the B, you're like, do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that era there when Little Kim was just, you know, I can't remember what the album was called. It was a really, really good album as well. But just that era there, she was just shit hot. And it's just the way she dropped on that track there. It, you know, you'd go in a club, you'd get people going.
Do you know what? She nearly made my list, but not for that track, for her feature on Mobb Deep's Quiet Storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because her verse on that is unbelievable. Great track, great production. I actually think she's better as a feature. I think if you think of all her great tracks, they're as features. She's one of those artists where she thrives off the competition. I think it's a great select. I think it's a great choice because that's the bit of all the artists to feature on the tune that everybody sings along to. That's the bit that stands out. That's and she's up against some other kind of big name artists in there. Who else is on? Is the Locks on there as well? Jada's on there as well, isn't he? Puffy's on there himself. Exactly. So to stand out like that. And I remember watching the BET Awards and they did like a Bad Boy special. And when she came out and sung her verse, she came out the floor and the crowd just went nuts because that was the bit that everybody was kind of waiting for. That's a great shout.
Tragic on that though, I thought. But
the vocally, she was the worst, yeah. And she looked to stay.
Do you know what? It's not necessarily always in certain tunes. It's not necessarily all about the. You said the vocals was it, or was it lyrics? Was she talking about?
No, the vocals on that performance he's talking about on the BET, isn't it?
Yeah.
The vocals were poor.
Crash it right
anyway. But I know what you're saying. It's true, you know, because if you think about. I was thinking about this before. So when I nearly put this in my list. If you think about Lethal Bizzle's Pow, what verse is the verse that everybody knows that sings out the most? It's the one that's probably got the least lyrical content. You're the big arms ass. I'll bring arms ass to your mum's ass. That's the one that everyone goes nuts for.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's the one with the energy. It's not necessarily the one with the best content in it.
That's like Noe on a lot of tunes, isn't it?
Massively, yeah, massively.
I play the better. But...
Yeah, it's just the energy.
Where it's like,
yeah, defo.
I still love the fact that Little Kim's verse on there is such a meme that you can see people that, like, they'll post on Facebook or Instagram and it'll be something really serious, like a wedding or a funeral, and they'll put dressed in all black like the Omen. Like,
yeah.
There's always time for reference
solid.
To that.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what else is going on. I nearly put Little Kim in if I pass away first, I'll be annoyed at you folks if you don't put dressed in all black like the Omen.
What, as the dress code on the flyer?
No, just on like Instagram.
Lee's death come through, dressed in all black like the Omen.
Yeah. This is for my homie.
Captain Hoodie's welcome.
I nearly put Little Kim, however, for the Mary J. Blige, I Can Love You Better verse.
Yeah.
Because I think that Mary J. Blige album is super underrated. And I think that Little Kim on there is absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. So again, Little Kim, you know, if we were to compile a best of our list, she's there again.
Yeah, she's got to be up there. So what were you going to come with your first one then, Lee? We'll save Ben to last.
Wow. I mean, I had a really difficult time taking it to five tracks. And I could have had just five Nas features. I think that if you asked me on any day of the week what tracks I'd include, I think that three of the tracks would change and I could argue all day long about how this track was better or that track was better. But there's two tracks that would stay the same irrespective of what day of the week, month, year you asked me. And the first one is Nas's, I want to say debut appearance on Main Sources Live at the Barbecue from 1991, which to me was just like an era-changing moment in the hip-hop landscape to me and musically. I mean, I'd started to grow up listening to hip-hop around 1989, 1990. So I'd call myself a serious, in quotation marks, hip-hop fan about 1990-ish. And it was the LL Cool J, EPMD, A Tribe Called Quest, and then getting into the whole kind of Main Source-ish
Gangstar, Pete Rock and Seal Smooth a little bit, maybe. I mean, don't quote me 100% on my timing. But to hear, I knew who Main Source were from looking at the front door. But to hear some kid who sounded like he was about 17, and he sounded like the combination of Rakim and Kool G Rap, and the stuff that he was coming out with, the punchlines where it was just one punchline after another. I've never heard someone say what I'd call the spit out the wall, you know, kind of, oh my God, did he just say that rhymes that he did on there? I mean, the exceptions being maybe like a Big Daddy Kane and maybe like a Lord Finesse. Maybe Slick Rick in his more politically incorrect moments, but Nas's flow, how he rode the beat, how he sounded so mystical, but so thuggish, but so eloquent, but so foul. I mean, you know, you don't hear rappers. I mean, we've talked about this before with Big L. You know, back in those times, rappers were Christian, or they were Islamic, or they were quasi-Islamic, or they were talking this and that. You didn't hear people talk about, I was 12, I went to hell for snuffing Jesus, and all this type of stuff, where it was just those crazy punchlines. But it was clear he had that knowledge of self in the background just because of how he sounded like Rakim and all that kind of stuff, that he was, that presence, that aura he had. And he was like 16 or 17. So that's, like I say, five tracks. Two are always going to be on there for me. One I'm going to come to soon, but my first one is Live at the Barbecue with Nas. Like, good grief.
If you've ever, listener, if you've never checked it out, check it out on Netflix. I think it's still on there. I think it's called Time is Illmatic. Is that what the name of the documentary is? And they talk about that performance because it was like, that's when everybody knew the Nas had arrived. And the expectation wasn't for that. They never saw that coming. They just thought, who's this kid? And he kind of just steals the show. And Complex have done a top 40, so also something to check out for. If you go online, there is a top 40 rap features done by Complex. That's the first track that you've mentioned that makes that top 40. In fact, I think it's in the top 5. So, yeah, definitely. Definitely one of those features that's a bit special. Obviously, this is all pre-Illmatic, pre-him becoming a superstar. This is when we find, like, the mainstream discovers Nas. The mainstream hip-hop fan discovers Nas, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say it was his first time on record, but I'm 99% sure. I mean, I don't know if anyone had some like Stretch Armstrong or whatever tapes before that, but I would bet the house on that being his
that was
first
the one.
Debut. And thank you to Large Professor for bringing him to the world. If that's Case, what actually happened, I think it is. Yeah. Mm.
Ben, what you got for me, bruv? This is your debut, so you better come hard. Don't come with no nonsense.
I'm going to carry on. Lee said about you could have five Nas tracks. I could have picked five Andre 3000 tracks. And he's become a specialist now in features since Outkasters. I don't know what they are now. Not Together, Are Together, Not Making Music. But it's the I Want You remix of Lloyd. And it's got Nas on the remix as well, actually. But it's not, for me, it's not the best Andre 3000 guest verse, but I think it's the most simplistic way of getting into Andre's sort of world, we'll call it. But yeah, if you haven't listened to it, I hope you all have listened to it since I messaged it, 'cause it's not the most well-known Andre song.
I knew the track already, and to be honest with you, I'm not a fan of the track, but his feature does steal the track. It's I'm going to be honest, that is true. Yeah,
and it's so
that
simplistic.
Is true.
And an example I use is my girlfriend calls it that song where it talks about being in Paris, because she can understand what he's saying, but it's very, so beautifully done. And it's just everything Andre in one song. But it's not, I think International Players Anthem is the number one Andre feature, definitely.
Yeah.
But this is just, if I had to give it to somebody that's never heard Andre 3000 in their life, 100% this song. And it's a really easy.
I like that. I like that. I mean, I think my criticisms are of the track and not the feature. And that's the point. The feature steals the show. Like, in the sense of, I'm not a massive Lloyd fan. How many times do I want to hear that Spandau Ballet sample? You know what I mean? Like, I just.
All day,
but,
day forever and ever and ever is a good
not at all. But he definitely steals the show on the track. And it ain't that bad. Maybe I'm being a bit overly critical. But for that reason, that's the point. Like, if Andre wasn't on it, I probably wouldn't listen to it. No. It wouldn't keep my interest. Hence why they put him on as the first verse.
Yeah.
before you hear anything. It's like, it's what opens the track. So
it's the same,
yeah, massive. That's a great feature.
I'm not going to go on about something I didn't pick, but that has got that, yeah. Just that intro all the way through. And I'm sure there's UGK, there's a video of them talking about how they hated the Andre at the beginning, that because the beat didn't come in until, was it Bumby come in on that, yeah, probably? Yeah, and it's the same thing. Obviously, Pimp C comes in first, yeah. So
back to me, I guess. I can't even remember what I picked. I have to think about it. So my next one is... Oh, I'll tell you what. Going back to original episodes, some of our earlier episodes, I talked about my love for G-Funk and what that means to me and how I loved that Snoop album. But I also mentioned that we kind of preempted that Snoop album because we had so much music from Snoop as a feature prior to the album releasing because of what he did on The Chronic. Dre and Snoop's Deep Cover is just an absolute menacing G-Funk track. It's just dark. It's raw. He doesn't really feature at the beginning. It's more kind of ad-libs. So you don't even know when Snoop's coming. But his verse on it is tight. I love it. I think it's really, 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 really top draw. And in fact, I'll probably say it was probably even my favourite track off the album. Because it's the one that we're not originally hearing on the radio all the time. So when you come to it, it was a bit of a shock, a bit of an excitement to it. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you know the tune. Do you guys know it?
I didn't know it until you put it as one of your favorite features. Yeah, didn't know it. And actually, it is actually a pretty good tune, to be fair.
Yeah, it's real LA. Like the only criticism of it is if you don't like that real kind of LA gang flavor G-Funk, you aren't going to be drawn to it because it is that all over. Like it's tarnished, yeah, with that. But no, I think it's dope. I think it's dope. And I like it because that was our introduction to Snoop. And I still think Snoop is probably better on a feature than he is, other than Doggy Style, on his own tracks. Because he just adds that kind of laid back, chilled out vibe. And it gives the track something else.
See, what's really bizarre as well is the fact that in West Yorkshire, where I grew up, the pirate radio stations... I resisted throwing up the W there for the West.
I was going to say, kind of West Yorkshire gets out. What colours are you lot wearing?
Between Ali G and Adrian Mole. That was a tune that the Huddersfield pirate radio stations, the Bradford pirate radio stations, the Leeds pirate radio stations absolutely winced. So it's really odd because to me, that was a tune that was played to death. And it's interesting, yeah, just how different 12 inches, chuckle, chuckle, get picked up and played to such a degree in one part of the country and not in another and take on their own lives and whatnot. What's really interesting, if I can hijack, is I nearly had, if you ask me another day, I would have put Lady of Rage's cameo on the beginning of Doggy Style as one of my favourite features. I also nearly put Stranded on Death Row. The thing is, that was one of those songs that was too good for its own good. I couldn't decide who had the best feature.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So we're back to you, G.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when we were doing this and features, I kind of wanted to, you know, go back to kind of when more R&B hip hop when it was, you know, in the 90s when I was in college and things like that. That for me is when a lot of features stood out. So the next one is Mace. And I don't, you know, for me, you know, some people may call it cheesy, but Mace, you know, he just had a certain flow about him. When you had Mace and PDD together, you know, that chemistry and the way, you know, there was always something there, the way you flow together and, you know, with PDD and the ad-libs and everything as well. Come on, take, you know, do you know what I mean? It just worked well together for me. That's my personal thing. And, you know, I'll always rate him for the way he used to just float, you know, get on tracks and just flow on them tracks. So, yeah, definitely for me.
So what track did you pick? What was the name of the track that you picked? So the listener knows.
Oh God! Can't nobody hold me down. What is it again? The
That's the name of the track, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Of course, it is. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying about that, because as soon as that combination comes on of Puffy and Mace, I can't even dance that good, but I'm trying to do that Harlem shake. Them shoulders are going. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's got that energy to it. That And do you know what else I respect about it is that what you've just said there, I think they both know their limitations. So they never try to break the chemistry of what they do well. And they never they never try and do anything else other than that. You know what I mean? They're not lyrical greats, they're not Jay-Z. But they can get the party started. So
some of you guys, you know, may go a bit deeper with who, you know, with certain artists and certain tunes that not many people necessarily know. But for me, I just kind of went with what I knew at the time and what was always, what you'd always, you know, I'd go to and listen to all the time, sort of thing, to kind of, I don't know, I suppose, get me in the mood, or, you know what I mean? Something that just flowed on Sinzy. Put like it on and pick, you know, everyone would know what it is and start dancing to it. That's kind of what I was going with when it came to these sort of features.
We're seeing a pattern here that Bad Boy or Puffy knows how to organize a feature, because that's two there, and I'm saying that coming, there's at least one or two on my list as well. Like, it's something that he knows. I wouldn't say he's a great producer in the sense of making the beats, but as an executive producer, as bringing everybody together, as in picking the right talent to rap at the right times, yeah, he's an artist at that.
You could literally do a whole show on it, and I'm pretty certain a lot of people out there wouldn't even know half the stuff that he's actually been involved in. He's brought through some of the best rappers, the best singers, you know, and, you know, at one stage, maybe an episode on someone like him, because actually he's done a lot for the industry, for music.
100%. Yeah, that's a great show. I like that one because also I'm of that, a very similar age of you, that era of Bad Boy was special, and it was just kind of like everybody got into it, and it was complete opposite to what they were doing on the other side, the other coast, I would say, in a sense. It was just a kind of different vibe to it, you know? So we're back round to you, Lee. That's a great shout there. But I haven't slagged any of you yet, to be fair. So this is going quite well, but I need someone to tarnish it. I like Mace. I'm on that Mace. If you'd said, like, it was G-Unit Mace, I might have then come back and told you about yourself.
Welcome back, Mace.
Talk to me, Lee.
He seems to have had a bit of a musical identity crisis in later years, hasn't he? That's kind of overshadowed all the good stuff that he did do. I mean, again, I'm being greedy here. You can tell that I didn't want to narrow it down to five songs, so I'm peppering I'm surprised that no one featured Only You with Biggie and Mace on the remix. I mean, that version itself is...
You know what? When you got limited amount of choices,
I'm going to be honest. Lee's only saying that one because back in his younger days, and we used to go to White Limelights in the sweat room when, like, you know, it's so hot in there and the sweat's dripping off the roof. That came on, Lee went straight full Jodeci mode. Baby, I need to know. They used to get it. I was like, Lee, what happened?
back when I could call myself slim, where now I'm more skinny fat.
I was the big guy coming in going, Jesus, the notorious.
Talk to me, Lee. What's your next pick, brother?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet because party pooper that I am, it's the God AZ on Life's a Bitch. So following on from Naz's appearance on Live at the Barbecue, it's the only person on, the only featured MC on Illmatic, and one that I would say somehow seems to achieve the impossible, which is beat Nas on Illmatic with the most insane opening verse I think I may have ever heard ever. Opening as far as the first verse from an artist I've never heard of before, even more so than Live at the Barbecue. And again, that whole kind of Rakim meets G-Rap, Thugged Out meets 5%, meets very jazzy. An amazing intro. I don't think I've ever heard an introduction aside from Nas, like it. I think they're two sides of the same coin. Nas's own father on the end of the song comes along and plays, I think it's a trumpet, because I'm not as
trumpet
into it as I should be.
Yeah.
So talk about a 1-2 punch. I could talk about that all day, but it is such a downbeat tune. I'll move on to something else. But AZ, I think his album Doe or Die turned 25 years old this week. And shout out to Dart Adams and BeatTips.com. That's BeatTips.com, who did an amazing write-up on it recently. They've always been good to me over the years, and so I'd like to pay it back as well. So, yeah, for more AZ, go over to them.
I like this one because, to quote Beanie Siegel talking about Jay-Z, even if you don't think that the AZ verse beats the Nas verse, you can tell that he kind of doesn't. It's not like he's having to sprint to keep up with Nas. And you're talking about one of the greatest MCs and one of the greatest hip-hop albums ever. So even if you don't think he surpasses Nas on it, he's not a hindrance and he doesn't look lost on the track.
Oh man.
So that says a lot as it is. So I think that's a great shout. Also, you've picked another track that made that complex top 40.
I'm going to be honest here, and you can edit this out if I'm going to, if I might offend some of your political connects. I don't really like complex.com, but, they're going to be right sometimes. And, in between the clickbait of, whose rapper's got the most hair dye this week, what's Post Malone's latest tattoo on his eyelid saying? I guess they're going to fuck around and get something right every now and again, I suppose.
Yeah.
We can edit this out if I'm screwing up any major deals for you later or not.
Okay, no worries. I'm sure that we're not going to be sponsored or signed by Conflict, so you haven't really got to worry about it, bruv. So we're back to you, Ben. What you got for me?
My second one will be Jay-Z, Dear Summer, which has got more of a story behind it than just that. I'm a bit younger than you lot, so it's a bit my way I consume music was very different. So not digging you out, I went down record shops and all that. Mine was when we started downloading music and all that. And when I was about 13, Jay-Z retired, which for me, I was a huge Jay-Z fan. So to bring it back to you lot, it'd probably be like when Ginger Spice left the Spice Girls, maybe. I was that heartbroken.
Mate, that was...
It's such a not bit.
So anyway...
You got it wrong, mate. It was when Robbie left Take That, all right?
No, you're getting deep with that, I tell you.
So that happened, and obviously everyone remembers him retiring when he became the Def Jam, whatever he was.
CEO. Yeah.
And then I think Dear Summer was on Hot 97. He'd done a freestyle originally of that verse, that, and it got downloaded. Everyone passed it about because Jay-Z was back after 2 years, and then it got brought out. The reason I think it can be a feature is, I've got you on a technicality here, is it come out on Memphis Bleek's album?
Exactly. Yeah, it did. Yeah.
If the album was good, which it wasn't particularly, but I think that would be a classic moment in hip hop, hands down. No arguments that retired Jay-Z comes on an album, has a track to himself, and it's the song equivalent of, I think, like a stepdad receiving a letter from a real dad after he's dropped the kids off. On a Sunday evening, of just a reminder of, who the real...
Who's in charge. Yeah.
You might be my children, but...
But he's still mine, yeah.
I'm the daddy sort of thing, and it's just perfect. It addresses everything that's been said about him since he's been away. It's everything that's to come, and not really a feature, but it is a feature because it says featuring Jay-Z, so...
I like this feature, and the reason I'm going to tell you what I like this feature is that there's a lot of great hip-hop artists, and I'm going to say great, and people are going to disagree, that were signed to rock that never really blew up. And one of the reasons why they never blew up is because your natural instinct is, I'm signed, I can get Jay-Z to do a feature, I'm going to do it. But once you do that on an album, even if it's one track, everyone now thinks you're shit, because you've been on a track with Jay-Z, and he's just made you look average. Beanie Siegel can spit. He can spit. But when you're putting him up against Jay, he just always looks like good, but not as good as Jay. And that's the problem you've got. We had this discussion the other day about talking about albums that could have been great. Me and Lee were talking about it, and he put the Blueprint 2 in there, and I said, I don't even know how you can put that in there. But then I thought about it, and I thought, actually, the reason I'm criticizing it is because all Jay-Z albums are great. So, like, he kind of sets a whole new level to everything. So, yeah, 100%. I get this feature.
Of all time, and
I get this feature. So, who are we back to now? Is it back to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going with a bit of a modern one, which is going to be a bit of an out there one. I'm going with Rick Ross's feature on Meek Mill's "I'm a Boss." Only because, right, when Meek comes in, he's all street and hard and screaming at the microphone and he's going at it. And I like this. It reminds me of going out with, like, George, and, like, it's one of those tunes where when the Rude Boys buy a bottle, they'd put it on. You know what I mean? It's just one of those kind of tracks. It's just the way that kind of Rick Ross just slows it down. He just takes a breath and comes out with that line, "I wear so many shades, people think I've got a lazy eye." What? But he sounds so dope. Like, I just like the feature. I think he adds a new... And then after once he's done his verse, Meek comes back and he just goes off again. Like, he just goes ranting like an angry school teacher that's going to put you on detention. But he just plays that part in between. It's like when the headmaster comes into the room and says, "Okay, which one of you have been misbehaving?" And everyone kind of calms down. And then the headmaster leaves and everyone gets mad again and the teacher starts yelling again. You know what I mean? It's just a mad one. And I just kind of like the way he just takes the tone down. So that's why I chucked that feature in there.
Yeah, I think if I was to choose a Rick Ross feature, I might have chosen something like Devil in a Blue Dress off the Kanye. Beautiful, dark, twisted, fantastic, fantasy, amazing, yeah. All-encompassing, yeah. Godlike fantasy album. I think that's a full name.
That is what I was going to say, 100% yeah. That one. And yeah. Also a shout out to that album as well, because every feature on there is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Bar Jay-Z on Monster, going back to Jay-Z. Jay-Z's Monster verse is horrible, but every other feature on there is brilliant.
Yeah.
That's because I've seen you riding through your old hood, but I'm in your new whip.
It's like, do you know what? Look, it is a good tune, but do you know what? It doesn't get me as hyped. I've heard other Rick Ross tracks that get more hyped, but again, it's what you like, isn't it?
I'm disappointed in myself.
You're disappointed in yourself.
Yeah, I've obviously not impressed you. I don't know what to say. Does anybody want to take over? Like,
yeah,
is that what you're trying to say? Am I getting kicked off my own show? What's going on?
Yeah, thanks.
Talk to me, G. What you got for me?
I'm going to keep it short and simple and sweet. DJ from the DJ Khaled song, "Welcome to My Hood," Busta Rhymes. So the reason I said that is, you know, he came with a totally different flow, a totally different, like, he just completely switched up the game with it. And, you know, do you remember that tune?
No, because I'm pretty sure that DJ Khaled went another one and I turned it off.
Well, if you need to YouTube it or whatever, but listen to the way he flows on that track. You know, that remix, to be fair to you, I think there's Ludacris on it, there's Walker on it, and there's T-Pain as well. But Buster's verse on it, I saw him definitely after that. You know, that gotta go, you know, and that's off. That was before Touch It, before, you know, when he started, when he brought out that tune, Touch It.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, yeah. That flow he started doing differently from what he was doing.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it just really hits it, you know, hits a nail on the head for me.
Do you know what, though? I'm going to say exactly what you said about the Rick Ross one, in a sense of, yes, I like the tune. Yes, it's a good feature, but there are a lot of other Buster features that I would have picked before it. I'm not going to mention them because I expect they probably will come up throughout the rest of the show.
Was you going to say the Mariah Carey one?
No, I wasn't going to say the Mariah Carey one, no. But, like, I'm not going to, like, there was a lot. But that's because he's been about so long,
yeah,
that, you know, and we've seen the many styles of Busta Rhymes. We've seen the Wu-Ha style from the early days right through to what you're saying. That Chris Brown feature, do you remember? Was it on Transformia or something? Whatever it was on. I can't remember what one it was on. But he featured on one of them Chris Brown tracks where he does that super fast flow. It's got a bugger the name of the track is now.
He's on the West Side.
Oh, is it Look at Me Now? It's Look at Me Now, isn't it? Yeah.
He's on the new West Side Gun album, sounding like he's still in his 20s.
Yeah, I mean, so he's got so many features that I think there's a lot to pick from.
It was a toss up for me with that one and the original one. I think it's with Total. It's a Party. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's a tune. It's a tune.
That was a good feature from him. So it was a toss up between the two of them, but I had to go with something a bit more recent because it was a different sort of flow that came from Busta on that track.
We're going to go right back round to Lee now, brother. What you got for me?
Well, keeping on the Busta Rhymes wave. I mean, I think that Busta Rhymes is the undisputed cameo king of hip hop.
Yeah, he's up there. I think you're right.
You know, I mean, like, I don't need to explain that anymore. I would say that it started with his Leaders of the New School compatriots, if that's the right phrase, with a Tribe Called Quest scenario, circa 1992. I mean, Leaders of the New School, I think, are underrated as far as their influence on groups that came afterwards, like Onyx and that whole shout rap kind of
that aggressive that really rap thing,
because I like the heavy metal and all that type of stuff. I also think, in a way, they were a throwback to the Tickle Crush and the late 70s, where you would have a bunch of people rhyming in unison in the call and response. So I really think that they were a great a group, sorely underrated, although I'm not a super duper expert on them, I must admit. But I digress. Scenario, A Tribe Called Quest, more energy than you would expect on a Tribe Called Quest record, thanks to Leaders of the New School. I think that all of the featured artists on there, every MC, every verse, I should say, it holds its own. But Busta Rhymes just exploding at the end with a scene-stealing performance. And I remember, again, that being the time that the pirate radios and the hip-hop magazines and myself were going, I think that Busta Rhymes is going to go solo on the back of this. Could we start to see Busta Rhymes as a solo artist, and how will that go for him? And of course, I'm not going to say too much because there's other Busta Rhymes features on here, but all these years later, from A Tribe Called Quest features to helping bring the world to Jay Dilla, so like I say, featuring on West Side Gun this week and seeing stealing performances, and he's teasing some insane tune which sounds like it's Jay Dilla or Knots produced with some rare old dirty bastard vocals this week on Twitter. He's been teasing. How many years later he's still he's still a hip hop icon, hip hop cameo king. Busta Rhymes on a Scenario.
I'm a big fan of this one. In fact, it nearly made my list as well, because I'm a big Tribe fan. I love the track. The feature adds to it, like you said. I think you've been very articulate in the way that you've explained it. So definitely 100% agree with this one. And it was one of the tracks I was thinking of when I just mentioned to George, if I was going to pick a Busta, it might have been one of the other ones. That would definitely be one of the ones I would have picked. So coming back round to you again, Ben.
I can keep on the Busta theme, but a song that he features on, but I haven't picked him. It's Biggie's verse on Craig Mack's Flavor in Your Ear.
Big.
That's the remix version, in people, Busta, in case you didn't know, people.
LL Cool J. It's the best opening bar ever. Yeah, there's a lot on it, and Biggie's is by far the best. And I think he's been set up by Diddy to score an open goal with that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the whole thing's genius. Like, even the intro where they've taken that sample from The Warriors, and it's a great movie from the 70s. If you've never seen it, everyone should go and see it. It's a cult movie. But those bottles clinking together, ting, ting, bad boy. Come out to play, yay. It's just dope. Like, the whole thing, it's just good. It is, but you're right. If you take the original Craig Mack, which was a genius of a bit of a production, because if you don't know, when they originally, you won't remember, Ben, because you weren't even born probably, when they originally released the track, the tape came out in a Big Mac box. But instead of having
like
Big Mac
team promo sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and instead of having Big Mac on it, it just said Craig Mack. It was like a street team promo thing, just to kind of get people noticing it.
I actually think they went one step better, and I think they called it Big Mac, and I think there was a Craig Mac on one side and a Biggie on the other. So it
track on the other. That yeah, that's right.
But I could be wrong there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a massive fan of this track just generally. But I don't even mind the LL verse on this. I think that comes in quite smooth as well. So it's a great
talking about.
Nah, bruv. But he's kind of smooth with it.
I guess like the jeans. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably had some sort of buttery ice cream dripping down his chest as he was singing it. But it's typical LL, but I liked it. I like it. I like all the verses on it. But you are right. This is where we were talking about Jay-Z. Biggie is also one of those kings of a feature. And so my next track is Total's Can't You See for the Biggie feature. Because that feature is just immense. Absolutely immense. So we're following that pattern of Bad Boy Biggie features. I mean, we're getting up to like five now. What are you on, George? You're next, bub.
So the next track is Nas again.
Yeah.
He can feature on it. He can just finish anybody on it. So it's the actual track with Jay-Z and Ludacris, and I still think he outshines all of them on I Do It For Hip Hop. So that's the way he comes in with that, again, the flow in that track as well is just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? For me personally, you know, I always he's my number one. So, you know, when you listen to that and you know, we shouldn't actually discuss, you know, someone I did wanted to add was actually Ludacris. So I think he does amazing features. I think he's quite underrated, to be fair, really. But on his own, again, with Nas on it, it had to be Nas for me. The way he just comes in on that track is just too much. And I suppose the beat as well, that just makes it even, gives it that extra oomph.
Edge. Yeah, the edge.
Yeah, it's a really dark beat, and it just the way it flows on it. So that one for me.
That's a great shout. I mean, I'm not going to say very much like when I was talking about the Lloyd track. I wouldn't say I was a great fan of the tune, but I think Nas's feature is the one that stands out, in my opinion. And that's saying a lot considering the artists that are on the track. But it's the one that... It's just the one that I'm pulled to, that gives the energy, that keeps my attention. So yeah, I think that's a decent pick. So we're back round to Lee again. Number four, Lee.
I've spent quite a long time agonizing, many a sleepless night, agonizing about the picks for tonight. And like I say, the two that I would take all the time was Nas Live at the Barbecue and AZ on Life's a Bitch. And then from there, it gets more difficult for me after the Busta Rhymes feature on Scenario. And as you can tell, I kind of rotated through different eras and different artists and whatnot. But one stuck in my mind, and anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jax, I mean, come on. It's got to be, you've got to have a Biggie feature, as yeah. Ben says, and you know, as awful an impersonation as that was just then, I mean, his flow all over Victory is absolutely insane. And if I can give it a personal recollection again, I want to say that was the first track I'd heard featuring Biggie after his passing.
Death.
And
yeah.
So it wasn't just any Biggie track that would have sounded so poignant anyway, but to hear that, where it was like some sort of, you know, dying and resurrecting God coming back. I mean, he sounds absolutely massive on that track, pardon any unintended pun, and the different flows that he incorporates on there, and how he rides the beat, and that anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson scheme that people nowadays still copy or pay homage to. The second verse he's on is insane as well. And I really just remember hearing that and just having my hand over my mouth for like 4 minutes listening, like, God damn, we really lost a great one here. So, but again, as as we've all said in different ways, I could have had 10, 12, 15 different Biggie features. You know, I really could, from the more mixtape types of stuff, the Ron G's and all that type of stuff, to the Black Panther soundtrack. Sorry, the Panther soundtrack about the Black Panthers, the name of which has mistaken me, but the one that's got Bone Thugs and Harmony and Big Mike and Buckshot and people like that on there. The name will come back to me after this. To Total, to 112, the R&B stuff. The one that he's on with Michael Jackson, where Michael Jackson seemed to need a Biggie feature rather than Biggie needing a Michael Jackson feature on the History album. I mean, I could go on, as you can tell. Brooklyn's Finest. I mean, here's an MC that top five of all time, and I haven't even put Brooklyn's Finest on here. So it's but like I say, I joke, but it is a difficult pick, and ask me again. Maybe that'll be on next time. But right now, I couldn't have a top five without Victory. And again, Busta Rhymes, again, you see a theme form in here that Biggie has all the energy, and you think this track can't get any bigger with the strings and everything, and then Busta starts screaming from the top of his lungs, and I nearly had a seizure. You know, and I don't use those words lightly. I did kind of, something went a little skew with for a few moments, I remember.
I mean, I think it's another great shot. And do you know what, though? I also think that the fact that they put that feature on so early after his death kind of helps, because it did get to a point very much like the Tupac features, where you just think, how many times are you going to pull out these features of unreleased stats or whatever they are, and then throw them on a track? But at this point, you still, it felt raw, it felt real, it felt like fresh material. So yeah, no, I'm a massive fan of that one. I think that's a great shout as well. And like you said, the common denominator of Biggie and Busta and Puff and Bad Boy just has gone through all of our selections. All right, number four for you, Ben.
Just touching back on the Biggie thing as well, I think that's a good, with the debate between him and Tupac, I think Tupac would be in Daddy's Home Free, whereas Biggie would be on Versus Still Now, being brilliant. And when's the last time you heard a beat and thought, I really wish I could hear Tupac on this? I don't think you did.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on this, but
I think Biggie would absolutely smash.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's not even a competition. I know people always talk about it, but for me, it's not even worth debating. Like, my personal opinion, I mean, many a time I've said it, people hate me for saying it, but there's two artists, Frank Ocean and Tupac, are they really all that? Like, I just don't get it.
Tupac was, and I'm not even the biggest Tupac fan, but he, no, we have to.
I just don't get
the
it.
Line that we have to draw a line in the sand.
I get it. I just don't get it. I mean, that might be. We're gonna have another show about that. Are they all that? Where we can talk about artists where the rest of us go, what are you talking about?
Frank Ocean now.
So anyway, Ben, what was your pick?
My fourth one will be John Blaze, the Big Pun versus that, which is, yeah, it's for, I'm not going to belittle Fat Joe, because I don't think I was really around the era when he was, I think he was hot at one point. Am I wrong? Yeah, okay. But
I love Fat Joe. I love him.
Brand Lean Back, which, yeah, I missed. I've got the back end of Fat Joe and Jennifer Lopez. That's my song from
Fat Joe. Era.
But Big Pun, it's the first time I heard a Big Pun verse. It's on with three artists that I love, with Nas, Raekwon, Jadakiss, and they're all delivering as well in it. It's not like they're all just there for the paycheck, or they're just because Fat Joe's asked them to be on it. They've come in a big way, and Big Pun absolutely smashed him. It's probably the most quotable out of all the verses everyone's picked here today, I think, as well. So many just one-liners in it that are funny, witty, clever, smashes it.
I'm really upset
that nobody else picked that as well, because I think that's the right answer to this.
Well, you're preaching to the converted here, because, like, me and Lee are big, big Pun fans, like, Capital Punishment, Yeah Baby, we're all over that. Everything that he's done, everything that he touched. The guy was a lyrical G, like literally. I don't think he gets enough credit for how talented the guy was. So, yeah, I love this feature. Also, one of the features that made Complex.
Before,
even though Lee hates them.
Before we move on, big pun, and I know I kind of did a very political thing of saying, oh, I nearly picked that in the chat before the show. So here's where I try and cop out. Big pun, along with Cool G Rap, along with Pharoah Monch, along with the late great Big L, along with Grand Pooba, along with Lil Wayne and several other artists, was an artist that, because, and I know this is going to be a cop-out, and Jay-Z as well, if you've noticed, they haven't had any Jay-Z features. I felt like they had so many star-studded, scene-stealing performances, I couldn't choose which one to go for. I ended up like an intuition from being sport for choice. I ended up leaving because you're not sure which of the 10 or 12 things you want to pick. You want to get.
Yeah.
So Big Pun's absence in my five isn't a slight on him. It's actually testament to just how difficult I found it. So I'm glad that Ben really did, so I could air that and copper plea.
So we're on our last track now. Now, my last track I've picked, and I don't think it's because it actually is a great feature. I think I've kind of picked it because I wanted to add a little bit of variety to the discussion. I wanted to add something a little bit mellow, something a little bit for the guys and girls sitting at home they can listen to when they chill out. And I've gone with the DJ Quick feature on Tony Tone. What was the name of the track now? It's gone out of my head. Let's Get Down.
Get Down.
So I've picked that because it's the introduction to the track, and it breaks the track up halfway through as well. So I think the feature gives the tune structure. So I think it's important to have it there. Is it the greatest lyrical content you're ever going to hear? No. Does he screw the rest of the track up because he's so brilliant? No. But is it better for having the feature? Yes, because you can get the version without the feature. Or if you listen to the live version, obviously, where he doesn't feature, it's nowhere near as good. It just doesn't have the same structure and feel and vibe to it. So I think it is a necessity. Is it the greatest feature ever? No, but I think it's important. But the tune's brilliant. Like, it's an absolute banger. I love it. And I needed to do something that was a little bit different. I hope you enjoy it and you don't disagree too much. What's your last one, G?
Do you know what? Something else has come to mind when I was thinking about this now, because I thought to myself, you know what? I know there's going to be your Jay-Z, your Nas's and whatnot with regards to features. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to say another woman. I'm going to put some girl power out there. And I'm going to say, one credible mention is Lisa Left Eye Lopez on the Donnell Jones track.
You know what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that she didn't absolutely smash that track.
Insane.
When she comes in. You don't play the Donnell version. You always play it with the Lisa Left Eye because of the way she came in on that track.
It needs that break, that's why. It needs it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So big respect for that one. But I'm going to say Da Brat. And I'm going to say with Lissy Elliott, Suck It To Me.
Yeah.
Do you know what, when you sent that over, I was a bit gutted that I didn't think of this one because it's a tune.
Me too.
And the feature on it is so solid. And not only that, because Missy does that songstress vocal thing on it as well.
Yeah.
Which on the album, on that album, I think it's Super Duper Fly, isn't it? She kind of does both. I love it. It's a great album. It's a brilliant tune. And I'm kind of a little bit upset that I didn't think of it. And you're going to get the credit for this
one. Very underrated, she was. Very underrated. And, you know, I was driving home today. And another tune of hers, another feature she came on, was a total Don't Want Nobody Else.
Amazing tune.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
A good feature. Whoa. That's a great feature as well.
And I thought, whoa, actually, you know what? She actually is a feature lady. She is good at what she does. There's so many others that she's like featured on. And I just thought, you know what? Actually, definitely, you know, you've got to give these people that a lot of people won't necessarily remember or know, because all we is our Jay-Z and our Nas's and all them people. But actually, there are a lot of other women out there like Foxy Browns who, you know, when they featured on tracks, them tracks were hits.
Mm.
Var Digger.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Foxy, actually, the Foxy feature on Casey's...
Touch Me, Tease Me.
Touch Me, Tease Me is pretty solid as well, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty solid. Actually, now you've said that, I remember, like, fast forward 15 years after that track, I think the Brat does a feature on Oh, They Think They Like Me. Oh, They Think They Like Me. And it's quite a solid feature on that as well.
Yeah, you know. It's
so there's a few. There's a few.
Yeah.
That's a great shout, though. It's one of my favourite picks so far, just because I didn't see it coming, George. I didn't think you had it in your repertoire. I'm going to be honest.
Mate, I got loads in my bag. Got loads in the old record bag, mate.
Just navy shirts, one might have heard.
Yeah. I might one time bring out some vinyls for you as well. With my navy top on.
Navy shirt.
Yeah. That's
Ben. All right, let's move on to Lee's last one, please.
But yeah, shout out to the Brat that was I again kicked myself at that one. I will definitely have to go back and listen to that again. I went with a very obvious one for my fifth pick. But again, ask me on a different day and I may say something else. I stuck to, in fact, I didn't. I'm contradicting because, of course, Biggie's got two verses on Victory. Eminem on Jay-Z's Renegade. I mean, I don't think it's fair for people to say, oh, Eminem murdered Jay-Z on his own track. He didn't. I mean, Jay-Z's flows are so subtle and sublime, and the pictures he's painting and the stuff that he's talking about. So I don't think Eminem, you know, beat him into submission or whatever kind of, you know, competitive hyperbole you want to say. But I do think that is two of the greatest MCs of all time, bringing their A game, and Eminem's animated, animated delivery, and Jay-Z's more slow burn depictions of what he's talking about in there. Fantastic. I mean, The Blueprint to me is one of the greatest albums of any genre. I can never say that word properly. And Renegades is one of the greatest songs on there. And I had to feature one Eminem verse because I grew up in the backpacking, raucous records kind of era. And here's me throwing some tracks out there until Mark cuts my microphone off from underground artists like The High and Mighty. I think the track's called The Last Hit. Through to the track he did with Missy Elliott on Missy Elliott's The Real World. You know, there's a million Eminem features which are incredible, you know. But yeah, for its own merit and symbolic of his other features, mine is Renegade on Eminem's Renegade versus on Jay-Z's The Blueprint. And that's me. Thank you and good night.
I like this pick because it's one of those ones where I remember when the album came out, I was excited to listen to it because it kind of felt like it shouldn't work because it's such contrasting styles, but yeah. It really, really does work. Of recent Eminem features, I love the Eminem feature on, I think it's the second to last Logic album. The track was called Homicide. That's a really, really, really good tune. It's a good feature on it. But the greatest, or for me, they're more like duets than they are features, is those features where you've got West 5-9 and then they just kind that of...
Bad Meets Evil and...
Yeah.
Those two together. Yeah, I mean, I nearly subtracted Renegades because I saw it more as a duet. And then, like I say, I kind of contradicted myself because I put Victory in over Capadonna on Winter Wars by Ghostface. If I can drop yet another tune in there, which yeah. I'm doing all over this. Mark's going to have to edit all this out, I'm sure. But yeah, Royce on guest features with Eminem and anyone else, really. L's Eye as well. I mean, Detroit is just, you know, beats wise and rhyme wise. I mean, you know, amazing
solid.
Talent.
Solid. So we are now around to the last person and the last track. So Ben, you're going to see us out in a blaze of glory, bruv. What have you got for me?
Out with a bang.
Top corner, top bins.
The whole reason I think a feature personally should be something that surprises you. Yeah.
Go on in.
Yeah.
To what surprises me? What's the track?
Lemon by NERD, oh. The Rihanna verse.
What surprises me?
Before you start, I assume all four of us here, Pharrell fans, NERD fans, Neptune Massive. Fans. Me too. I look forward to a new NERD song. I see it come out. I'm excited. It's the first one off their new album called Lemon with Rihanna. And I thought, how's that going to work? Shouldn't work. I thought maybe it'd be a Khalees sort of that vibe about it. When Khalees used to be on NERD songs or Neptune songs, it worked. I thought maybe Rihanna's going to slip into that. Comes into it, I hit a beat. It's crazy. It's not an NERD beat particularly. It's a bit Neptune-y, a bit. And it doesn't fit the mold. Pharrell, I think his first verse in it is really awkward. And I thought this is going to be a really crap song. And then it comes into Rihanna's verse. Whether I doubt she wrote it. I think it's more the genius of Pharrell. But it's flow. I didn't expect that. I couldn't imagine how Rihanna would fit onto this song. And she's beautiful on it. And I'm not a Rihanna fan. It's not going to be any other Rihanna songs I picked there. But it is absolutely amazing. And it sounds perfectly Rihanna without sounding like anything she's ever done before. And that's why it's a great feature. Now you can give it back to me now.
So I get that bit of it, I must admit. So first, I'm going to say that this track is shit. But the problem that you've got is shit because you're comparing it to the expectation and the levels that they've hit with other NERD and Neptune's tracks, right? But I do agree that the best thing about the tune is Rihanna. That is true. That's not saying a lot, though.
But going back to, we was at Lovebox when NERD were there. And yeah. I think the standout bit of that whole, they didn't play like a new album sort of set. It was greatest hits.
Kind of in the end it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
And the standout bit for me was Rihanna wasn't even there. It was the bird that come out and done the dance. And I got what that song meant then. It was, it's just a, maybe a more female centric than we would like, but
yeah,
I got that song and I thought that fitted perfectly with the dancing. I can imagine girls at school doing their GCSE dance final exam to that song, to the Rihanna bit, and it shouldn't work, and it does, and that's why it's a great feature.
I get it. I mean, I can't, if you're asking me if I like the track, the answer is no, but in terms of the subject that we've selected here, and if we're saying that she's on it and she's the best thing about it, then obviously that's got to be a great feature, innit?
Do you know what I've got to say? For me, it's one of them tracks, right, that you don't want to like, but you can't help but like it in a certain weird way. you kind of slightly hear it and start tapping your feet thinking, you know what? It sounds off-key. It sounds really off-key, but it then goes in a weird way.
It's genius.
Ben, how many times have you heard George say, I didn't want to like it, but... No.
The very first tune you chose with Mariah and ODB, because it shouldn't work, should it? When he comes, it's just so random, the two of them, it's just a random thing. But you kind of get to like it because it just meshes, it's weird. It works. And to be fair to you, it does. You know what? Lemon's never going to be my favourite tune in the world. Not at all. But I kind of get Ben for this. So, you know what, Ben? You've half got me on this one.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's the end of the show. After George telling Ben he's half got him. I'm going to say, I think in this episode, I think we'll all agree that we've all come up with some great choices, but I think the style of the show was the brat shout from the Missy. I mean, I think you're going to take the crown away on this one. I'm going to give it to you, George, and say, I think that you've pulled it out of the hat. So congratulations. You are the star of the show.
Thank you. But also another star of the show has to be P. Diddy, because
bad boy.
No one.
Yeah.
Sleep. It was our own choices. And we've all come up with something linked.
Yeah.
So that just shows you how much of an influence this guy's had over 90s music. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely.
Shout out to that as well. Definitely.
Definitely. Before we did this show, the concept was going to be our favourite remixes, but I kind of felt like it was too broad a bracket because you can get all sorts of remixes from the UKG, the drum and bass, all the genres of music that we like. But also that I knew that if it was going to come down to hip-hop and R&B, most of them are going to be associated to Bad Boy or Puffy in some way or another. Or even as him as an A&R, like working on a track in some way or another. So Yeah, big shout out to Puffy and that era of music. I want to thank all three of you for joining me on the show today. I'd like to let the listener know that the show will be available on normal outlets, and you can access the playlist of all the tunes we discussed on our iTunes or our Spotify account. Links to this are available on our Instagram. Our Instagram is Influenced Music Podcast. Our blog is www.influencedpodcast.co.uk. If you want to get in touch with us, you can use either of those formats. And we have got more content coming very, very shortly. I'm hoping to have additional guests. We're going to bring Mark back, who was unavailable to meet us today. And hopefully I'd love to do a show about the end of the night slow jams. And we're looking to get Roger the Entertainer to join us on that one as well. So that one should be very, very, very interesting. Thank you very much once again, guys. Thank you to the listeners. Hope you've enjoyed this show and all previous shows, and we look forward to hearing your feedback. Take care, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.